The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
John chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 3, and we'll read down through verse number 15 to begin our text this morning. John chapter number 4, beginning in verse 3, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. As we consider this passage this morning, this is one of my favorite places in all of the Bible, because we see Jesus having a heart for people that everyone else rejected. The Samaritans are a very small group of people. They are still around even until today and continue to sacrifice the Passover. There are about 725 of them living mostly in Israel, some here in the United States, and a few in Europe. But this particular group of people was rejected by everyone. They were rejected by the Jews because they were half-breeds. They were the mix between the Jews who had stayed in the land during that first captivity when they had gone out to Assyria, along with the Assyrian soldiers, and they were somewhat seen as traitors to their own country and their own culture. Everyone hated the Samaritans. The Jews, the others living in the Middle East, the Assyrians, everyone thought they were to be disdained. But there was someone who cared for them. And the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. This morning I'd like to speak on the subject of why I must be involved in missions. I got involved in missions 43 years ago when I was just a little kid. And it all happened in a small church in the town of Tepoztlan in the country of Mexico. My dad was the pastor of the church, and he informed us on a particular Sunday night that we were going to have a missionary come and visit us within the next month. This missionary was from El Salvador, and then my dad told us that he had some exciting news, and that is that as a church, we were going to pay for his airplane ticket, his hotel stay, and give him the best food while he was there visiting us in Tepoztlan. Now, I was a missionary, but I had only known missionaries to Mexico, and I thought someone from a foreign country must be the most exciting person I was ever going to meet. And so my dad then handed out these pieces of paper, and he said, You need to write down how much money you think you can bring in 1 month to help with all of the expenses of this missionary. And he said, And everyone here needs to participate. Well, since I was a part of everyone there, I thought I should participate, and so I wrote down on my little piece of paper, 200 pesos. I was so excited. I was really proud of myself. After the service, I went up to my dad and I said, "Dad, did you notice my piece of paper?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I saw you were going to give 200 pesos. That was about $12.50. And I said, "Well, yeah, that's my plan." And he said, "Okay, well, that's really exciting." I said, "When do you think you'll give me that money so I can put it in the offering?" And he said, "Oh, it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to find a job." Now, I was only 8 years old at the time, and I couldn't think of any job that I could do that would make money. So my dad came up with this bright idea, since we had four lemon trees in our yard, that I would make lemonade and sell it on the street in front of our house. Now, nobody on our street had ever done that before, and so it looked like it might be a very good business. Well, I went out there that first day with that 5-gallon jug of lemonade and trying to sell it. Nobody wanted to buy it until in the afternoon my youngest sister came. She was about a year and a half old, really cute, kind of like the Ralston's daughter, and blonde hair, you know, the little gold locks sitting there. And it was hot and she was sweating, and people would come by and they'd say, "Oh, what a cute little girl." I'd say, "Yes, would you like to buy some lemonade?" "Oh, yes." And they'd be drinking the lemonade and looking at my sister and they said, "But she looks really hot." And I said, "Yes, would you like to buy her some lemonade?" And they would. And that's how I started selling lemonade. And so every day I would get my sister to come out and she helped me to sell lemonade. And we raised the money, not $12.50, but over the course of a month with my brothers and sisters to give a $200 offering to that missionary when he came in. I learned something that day. It put a love in my heart for missions. And I still want to be a part of missions. Why should I get involved in missions? First of all, because God has commanded me to get involved. You realize that the reason that it says in verse number 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria," is because Jesus was doing the will of the Father. John chapter number 8 says, "I do always the will of my Father." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." See, the Bible tells us that God wants us to go into all of the world and to preach to everyone. Sometimes he sends us to people that we don't like. That's what happened that day. Jesus came into an area where that the Jews were not liked, and the Jews didn't like those people. But he went there because it was the Father's will. He had been commanded to take the gospel to those places, to those people in that particular place. And so he comes in there, and the Bible says that he was tired from his journey. Now, have you ever been tired before, and somebody comes up, and you really don't want to talk to them? That's not the way Jesus was. He was interested in this lady as soon as she showed up. He had every reason just to sit there and be quiet and say nothing. But he had a command from his Father. This morning, I would like to suggest to you that the reason that you and I must get involved in missions is because God has commanded us to. Sometimes young people tell me, "Well, Brother Bill, God hasn't called me to do that." Well, actually, he's commanded us to be involved in missions. We have to be doing something. We can give. We can pray. We can go. There's so many things that we can do, and every Christian must be involved in missions. Sometimes God commands us to teach things to people that they don't like and they don't believe. I'll never forget when my wife and I, and she's seated here behind me, she's the pretty one on the platform, we were going to take a taxi across town. And the way you take a taxi in Mongolia, you just kind of put your hand out, and anyone with a car who stops, that's your taxi. And so we got in, the back seat was empty, the front seat, there were a couple of ladies up there. We started talking to them and they said, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Okay, well, I teach the Bible and I'm here translating the Bible into Mongolian." And they said, "Oh, so you're a preacher." I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "Oh, that's very interesting." They said, "We are shamans." That's basically witches. They go into places and they clean out the evil spirits there in that area. And they said, "And all that stuff you see behind you in the back of the car, that's for us to be able to get rid of all of the evil spirits in this restaurant where we're headed to right now." I thought, wow, here's my chance. And over the next few minutes, I started telling them what the gospel teaches. Those ladies had never heard anything like that. They didn't believe a word of what I said. But it was so important that I could give them the truth according to God's word. God has given us a command. That's why we need to get involved. There's a second reason. If you would go to verse number 17. And we find here, 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sittest thou truly. I remember once I was in a little town in Tennessee, lady in front of me, we were living in this small village doing some Bible translation work there, a little town of only about 600 people, and lady in front of me looked back and she said, hey, preacher, I'm getting married this Saturday. She said, I'm so excited. And I said, oh, congratulations. She said, yeah, it's my seventh husband, and I really think it's going to work this time because he's the deacon of the church there in town. And I said, oh, boy. Congratulations. I mean, you know, what do you say to somebody like that? That's what this lady was like. She had had five husbands and she was currently living with a guy that she wasn't even married to. And so as we continue to see this, then Jesus tells her what's going on and they have this amazing conversation. And then look at verse number 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When we look at this lady, we find a second reason why we must be involved in missions. And that is because God is worthy that we should get involved. When she understood who Jesus was, she could not be quiet. She could no longer think about the water that she had gone there to draw. She had to go back into the city and go tell people who Jesus was and that he was seated right outside of their village, right outside of Sychar. She ran into the city. She started screaming, yelling to the men, hey, come see this guy. He's the Christ. He's Messiah. He's told me everything I've ever done. Can I just say that God is worthy that we should get involved in missions? This lady, when she understood, she immediately thought only of telling others about Jesus Christ. But I see something sad here. You see, the Bible tells us that this gospel that God has given to us, according to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 11, it's a glorious gospel. It changes people's lives. And yet sometimes we get a little accustomed to it, don't we? We get to the point where we're not really looking out for others and thinking about their need and thinking about whether or not they know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I say that to myself because as a college student, I remember coming on the campus here at PCC and I'd come from Mexico. And in Mexico, it's very easy to share the gospel with people and they're very open. And I came here and I remember I was at a Walmart one time and I tried to talk to somebody and this guy just looks at me and says, oh, shut up. And I just thought, okay, well, I guess I will. And that was the wrong thing for me to do. I needed to be bold in my witness. You see, God is worthy that we should get involved in missions. There should be an urgency for us to share the gospel with other people. The priority of our life needs to be the preeminence of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 30 record the words of John, who was Jesus' cousin. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. When the Samaritan woman realized who Jesus was, she left her water pots, ran into the city. And then we see a third reason why we must get involved in missions. Look down, if you would, to verse number 30. The Bible says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Jump down to verse number 39, if you would. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now I want you to notice something about this. This lady is probably the least likely candidate to lead an evangelistic thrust into Samaria. If Pastor Redlin were trying to find someone to lead the campus church's evangelistic campaign here in Pensacola, he probably would not look for someone who'd been married 5 times and was currently living with a man she wasn't even married to. And yet this woman got involved. Can I tell you, there's a third reason why we must be involved, and that is God will use us if we get involved. God will use anybody. You look at yourself and you say, Brother Bill, I don't have all of the abilities that other people have to share the gospel. Can you just compare yourself with this lady for a minute? I mean, she's not exactly the one that you or I would have chosen. God wants to use anyone who is willing to be involved. You might be here today and you'd say, I have nothing to offer. Yes, you have yourself to offer. And God wants to use you. And God uses us when we get involved. See, Acts 1:8 reminds us, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria and in Judea and unto the uttermost part of the world. See, when you and I get involved, God does something. He empowers us. We may step out by faith and say, I have no idea what I'm going to say today, but God puts the words in our mouth and we suddenly find ourselves telling people things that we say, well, how did I know to say it in that way? Because God helped us. God seeks willing people and empowers them. God enables people who are willing to get involved. But I want to show you a group that didn't get involved. Go back to the disciples for just a moment. And I want you to notice when it says in verse number 27, and upon this came his disciples. These 12 men were the best trained evangelists in the entire world at that time. They were a group unlike any others. They knew theology. They had been walking with Jesus. They had been trained by Jesus. They had been with Jesus day and night. They had heard Jesus. They had watched him perform miracles. All of these things were a part of their daily life. And yet they went into Samaria and came back without one single person. Not even one. There was no one that came back that said, hey, I'm interested in meeting this guy that you've been talking about. Not one person. Maybe I could say it this way. The disciples were more interested in getting groceries than they were in giving the gospel. You and I often get so excited about the things that we're doing in life and we forget one of our main goals in life is to honor and glorify God. There are people all around us every day who need someone to just give them a word from God and encourage them and be a minister to them at that point. And you and I are the only ones that can do that. We must get involved in missions. I remember when I was called from Brazil back in 1997. My uncle, he's one of these guys that can get anyone to do anything. And he said, Bill, I want you to help us with our translation of the Bible into Portuguese. I said, Uncle Tom, I don't even speak Portuguese. He said, well, that's all right. He said, God will help you. And I said, well, that's going to be kind of tough. He said, well, you can help us with Greek and Hebrew and, you know, some of the other things that you know. And I said, oh, boy, you know, I don't know about that. He said, we need you. Please pray about it. And so I prayed about it and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get involved. I have no idea how this is going to work out. It didn't look too good. But I got involved. And because I got involved, God used me. But then we find a fourth thing that happens. Look in our text, please, again. John chapter number 4 and verse number 41. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, when we get involved and God begins to use us, the next thing that happens, and this is the fourth reason why we must get involved in missions, is that God blesses us far beyond what we can imagine when we get involved. You see, when this lady decided to get involved and to go into town, she had no idea what was going to happen. She didn't realize that a revival was going to break out. She didn't realize that they were going to say to Jesus, hey, you need to stay here for a couple of days. We need you to continue to teach us. We need to know more about this. We believe in you. We believe that you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She had no idea that was going to happen. You don't know what God can do through your life either. You look at some of these men seated on the platform and you said, well, if I was as well spoken as they were, and perhaps if I had the abilities that they have, well, sure, yes, I could go do what they do. But all of them were once just like you were. And they thought, there's no way God can use me. But they stepped out by faith and God is using them. And then He's blessing them far beyond their expectations. You see, the Bible teaches us that we need to trust in God. We need to allow God to do great things in our life. We need to believe that He's going to do with us just like He did with the Samaritan woman. In 2011, we printed the Portuguese Bible. Since 2011, in the last 10 years, the Lord has blessed and there have been 8.5 million Bibles that have been distributed in Brazil, in Portugal, and in other Portuguese-speaking countries all around the world. And for 14 years, I had the privilege of being a part of that particular translation team. We've also been blessed with some of these New Testaments like this. New Testaments just like this have been printed and distributed in Brazil. The last count I heard was that there have been 83 million New Testaments like this that have been distributed in Brazil. I had no idea God was going to allow me to be a part of something so big. But because I got involved, God used me and God blessed, and He wants to do the same with you. Young person, would you at least consider what God wants you to do in missions and get involved?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.